Bonsoir, this is Michael Pelias for Jazz Chronicles from New York City, welcoming you, bon année, to the new year and our first program since the pandemic plagued the earth in March of last year. I look forward tonight to continuing with the art of improvisation with the music of Lee Konix in particular, and we will be engaging his long, long career from the 1950s all the way up and through the 1980s. Lee Konix died during the pandemic in April of 2020. A great loss to us, but he had a full and a very active life until his passing in Manhattan then. So I welcome everybody. Bon année. Currently, we're listening to What's New, a piece that he did in Paris with his trio in 1965, with Alan Doug Dawson on the drums and Niels Petersen on the bass. This was in 1965, live in Paris. Please enjoy, and we'll be back soon. You're listening to the great Niels Petersen on the bass here, again live in Paris with Lee Konix Trio. Thank you. Again, that's Niels Petersen on the bass. An amazing interplay between Konitz and Petersen here, which is almost exemplary of the art of improvisation as a constant reinvention of rhythms, movements. Yeah. There's nothing predetermined here. It's beautiful. So that's the beautiful What's New from Paris in 1965, a beautiful way of opening the new year. I want to reemphasize the amazing interplay between, and the solo by Niels Petersen, the bass player, in relation to Konitz. This is a great starting point, I think, because we're in the new year and we hope that everybody is going to have a great 2021. It can't get any worse. Say it that way. I want to, speak just a little bit about Konitz again. Konitz defined the difference between composition and improvisation, and I think you can hear this in our opening piece, What's New. Konitz has stated that a composer is one who puts good phrases together, and that Charlie Parker was the great. He always played vocabulary, which is very interesting. You know, he played the vocabulary of the jazz world. He did it with exception, with greatness, with le grand élan, if you will. And you the thing about Parker is, you know, he changed things, but it was a vocabulary already known. And Connish already knew this because he heard Parker in 1948 on 52nd Street many times. And he said, I had already heard all of this on the records and I wanted to do something different. So Connish, you know, started to make this distinction between improvisation as an improviser as being one who reinvents constantly. You know, the speaking and playing vocabulary is very important to the artist, but it must be flexible, and flexible in the sense that one would withdraw often from following through on particular chords or something you already know. This was a very interesting moment, you know, and what you know will always work, to kind of withdraw from that and do something different, right? So the idea was to create different tonalities, rhythmic changes, then play, and then what would inevitably pop up in that kind of interspace, if you will, or in the internecies of the composition or in the intervals, was an unexpected place, a new rhythmic phrases that ultimately connect in a substantial way. So if you can listen to that, I think you will appreciate greater Connix's vast contribution and really seminal contribution to the jazz world, especially in terms of improvisation, and one of the great alto sax, you know, innovators, if not, you know, one of the most important alto sax player after Parker and the new moment from bebop to the cool period. So anyway, we're going to move on. I want to, we're going to go back and forth in time. We're going to go back to the 1950s in New York City with his colleague, the tenor sax player, both of whom, Wayne Marsh is the name of the tenor sax player, very well known as a player with Connix, with the Lenny Tristano group, the great pianist. And we're going to speak more about Tristano. And in fact, I'm going to devote a show, maybe the next show will be to Tristano's genius as both a teacher, composer, and an improviser too, and how much influence he had both on Connix and vice versa. But this is Topsy. It's a kind of duet, if you will, with Wayne Marsh from New York City in the 1950-55. And let me just give you an idea of the dates. Lee Connix was born in 1927. So we're listening to an artist here, almost 30 years old, 28 years old, playing with his good friend and, fellow sax player, tenor sax player, Wayne Marsh. So Topsy from 1955. Thank you. That's Topsy certainly prefigures some of the great music in film noir, the films of Jean-Pierre Melville, of course Godard and Breathless, the early new wave in France, Louis Malle, and of course the popularization of jazz in French new wave cinema. And Topsy was really a kind of forerunner of this. And of course you heard the beautiful synthetic moments between Wayne Marsh on tenor sax and, of course, Lee Konitz on the alto, and two players who, again, came out of the Lenny Tristano school and have collaborated many, many times over the next 20, 25 years and remain very good friends and, players throughout their lifetime, kind of in some ways, almost an inseparable group of sax players around Tristano going forward. You heard the great Oscar Pettiford on bass, Sal Moscow was on the piano, and Kenny Clarke on drums. And anyway, this was a great piece recorded in studio in New York City in 1955. And the 1955 date is important in the sense that this was one of the heydays of the Tristano School, which was on 31st Street in New York City. One of the great studio houses was school for Lenny Tristano. And again, we'll go over that more in depth in the next program we do from Jazz Chronicles from New York. Anyway, I want to move on to forward again, back to around the time of the Paris concert. I want to move to How Deep is the Ocean? And this is with the great pianist Bill Evans. We're going to come in a little bit into the piece, the classic How Deep is the Ocean. Again, this is Niels Petersen on bass and Dawson on drums with Konitz and, of course, Bill Evans. So you'll get a chance to really hear the great Bill Evans piano at work too, which was another kind of interesting collaboration. You know, you can hear probably three great pianists that Konitz played with, of course, the beginning with Lenny Tristano and the quartet and the quintet and the experimental moments of the modal use of chords in jazz in the 50s. And then, of course, Bill Evans, more in the 60s. And then, of course, Sal Mosca, who was a kind of, player that never really got due recognition, but is worthy of hearing, a very, very good pianist. Maybe not the great innovator that Tristano was, but certainly someone that played very well with Connex over the years. So we're going to hear now the Bill Evans live in Denmark, How Deep is the Ocean, with, again, Niels Petersen, Alan Dawson, Petersen on bass, Dawson on drums, Connex, and Bill Evans on piano, of course. Beautiful 1966, How Deep is the Ocean? And that was again Niels Petersen and Alan Dawson accompanying on bass and drums, respectively, the great Lee Connex on alto sax and Bill Evans. And you can hear how beautifully they played together, Evans and Connix, we'll hear later in the show, you know, how Tristano and Connix played, maybe do some comparative work there. Anyway, I want to move on to something very interesting that played out later between the L.A. school cool jazz period, and this is sort of after the collaboration with the L.A. Group, the California jazz musicians, who were known as the cool jazz people, led by, of course, Jerry Mulligan as a sax player. We're not going to hear Jerry Mulligan tonight, but you're going to be able to hear the use of two saxophones in duets here that Connix experimented with in the 1960s and again in the 70s. First with Joe Henderson, we're going to hear. You Don't Know What Love Is. It was done in September 1967. The Cool Blues with Eddie Lockjaw Davis. So you're in for a real treat here. Two duets, about 7 minutes. We'll do both of them and then talk about it. This is the great Joe Henderson, tenor sax player, with the alto sax player again, Lee Connix. And then Lee Connix and Eddie Lockjaw Davis doing the Cool Blues. And then we're going to move back around into some of the piano work in Storyville. So we're in New York City with the duets, the great sax duets of the Lee Connix story and the art of improvisation. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, beautiful. I guess the sax players don't have to get into a battle to tell us what love is. A beautiful merging of a tenor and an alto there, a kind of almost perfect symphonic harmony that, kind of says that love is more about the harmony of the spheres than an antagonistic battle. This is something we could certainly dwell on philosophically for a long time, but a very beautiful play. And remember, during this period, there were battles of saxes, and this goes back to the Kansas City days with Lester Young and, of course, Ben Webster, and then, of course, Parker and company. This was a very beautiful synthetic moment, I think, with Henderson and of course, Lee Konitz. We're going to move on to Cool Blues, which is a little more raunchier, if you will, and, kind of much more, edgy going forward. So this is the Cool Blues with the great Eddie Lockshaw Davis. And this is in Nice, France, by the way, in 1979, about a 4.5 minute piece in Nice in the south of France, of course. Kansas City sound coming through here between the two of them, kind of mimicking that. It goes to show you the vocabulary never leaves these great artists. Thank you. Go on, Eddie. That's the lockjaw at work. That's the Cool Blues with Eddie Lockjaw Davis on tenor and Lee Connix on the alto. Beautiful. I hope this year we go from the blues to the Cool Blues in 2021. Another great example of, you know, playing the vocabulary, but then improvising off of it, trying to give some space. You can hear it in the Connix interplay with Eddie Lockjaw Davis. Again, the duets that really were playing out, you know, Connix also played with Jerry Mulligan. We're not going to play something from that period, but certainly worth listening to the Mulligan Connix associations, as well as Steve Lacy. And we're not really going to go there today, but certainly in another program we can return to this. I also want to mention about jazz itself as a definition. You know, jazz has many origin stories, mythical origin stories, or origin stories, if you will. One, it was really about the New Orleans period in the 1880s and 90s, and it was thought of as an improvised musical expression that's based on European harmony and African rhythms, and was a kind of synthetic moment of that, which began in the marching bands, and then, of course, took over by Bits Beiderbecke, and then done by the Louis Armstrong Hot Five. Of course, the great Fats Waller, and there's a whole story and a whole mythology around this. Another definition of jazz is from the French word jaser, J-A-S-E-R, which meant to copulate, you know, because the old story is that society women in New Orleans would go into the parlors at the brothels sometimes just to hang out. They knew what was going on. And the little bands were playing in the beginning, and they would ask the musicians, what are you doing? And they'd say they were jazzing. And it was taken up as, you know, we're jazzing as in copulating. You know, here we're playing the instruments as if we're copulating. And for people that are interested in this, Jazz, the Perennial Fashion is an essay by Theodore Adorno in which he speaks to this in some ways. And both a critical, but in some ways, underneath the surface, a bit of an affirmative way, but mostly critical way about jazz as copulation and as, a moment in history that became fashionable. The problem with Adorno, he only listened to Glenn Miller and Artie Shaw. He didn't listen to Charlie Parker and Charlie Mingus and Duke Ellington with any degree of sophistication, nor do I think he wanted to. One day we'll do a program on this in terms of more the theory of jazz and some of its critics. Definition of jazz, which I think on the fun level is Sun Ra, that it began billions of years ago in the universe. So Sun Ra really kind of understood sounds intergalactically and the more playful aspect. But the definition we're trying to work with, though, especially with the Lee Connix and the art of improvisation, is that it's something with a beat that always involves improvisation. So this is something you might want to listen to, the beats and how the beats are improvised, that involves the improvisation. And it seems to me that Connix is exceptional with this. So we're going to move on, speaking of beats and that kind of play. We're going to hear Bill Evans again and Lee Connix play arrangements of Jimmy Giuffre from 1959 under arrangements, if you will, and improvisation. And this is a piece called Cork and Bib. And this was done again with a duet, the first major duet with Evans and Connix, or the first major collaboration. So Cork and Bib from 1959. And let's listen to the beats here. ¶¶
Thank you.
can hear the background of a little Cab Calloway here from the 30s, right? Slow pace. Well, very bluesy. The cork and the bitter. Who said you can't dance to jazz? The arrangements are amazing here. It's a cork and bib. The arrangements of Jimmy Gaffrey by the great Bill Evans on piano and Lee Konitz again. You know, and you get a sense of, again, of the jazz, you know, kind of movement to dance. You know, this kind of really broad sweep, bluesy sweep, but at the same time, this kind of very sensual and sultry moment that comes through here in the cork and bib. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. It's great to be back. Once again, we're going to do many more shows this year in 2021. I'm sorry for the interruption during the pandemic, but we seem to be back on track, and we're hoping for multiple shows. I'm going to end tonight with a great piece called Heibeck. From the Storyville Club in 1954, early in Konitz's career, with Ronnie Ball on piano and Percy Heath on bass and Al Levitt on drums and the Lee Konitz Quartet, live from Storyville, which was one of the great jazz clubs in Boston, Massachusetts, a really iconic place. Interestingly enough, Konitz went from Storyville to 52nd Street in New York to Birdland. He played, of course, in Massey Hall in Toronto, and as well in New York City, the Blue Note, too. The Storyville Club is filled with many stories, including Parker being there, etc. But this was the Konitz Quartet. And I want to mention that this is hopefully going to lead into another program of Tristano. Konitz is tremendously influenced by Tristano, and we're going to talk the next bit of the time about Tristano's relationship and then the break that Konitz makes with Tristano to go on his own in terms of the improvisation moment in history. So this is called Heibeck, and thank you again, ce soir, this evening, for listening, and we will be back in full force in 2021. And I wish everybody bonne année and the best of health, bonne santé. Yeah, merci.
From Storyville, the Lee Konitz Quartet. Good evening, everyone. This is John McClellan speaking to you from George Wein's Storyville at the Copley Square Hotel in Boston. Tonight we present the Lee Konitz Quartet with Ronnie Ball at the piano, Percy Heath on bass, Al Levitt drums, and Lee Konitz on alto, who along with Charlie Parker and Paul Desmond was considered one of the nation's top alto saxophone stars in the 17th annual Downbeat All-Star Poll. Many of you I know enjoyed Lee as one of the featured soloists with the Stan Kenton Orchestra during the recent Festival of American Jazz at Symphony Hall, and I know have been looking forward to this visit to Storyville with his own group. And so, since it's our custom to bring you these artists at their relaxed best, we invite you, wherever you are, to imagine that you've just walked into Storyville, you're seated at a table, and now you're ready to listen to the Lee Konitz Quartet. Thank you.
Once again, this has been Jazz Chronicles from New York City with Michael Pelias for Art District Radio. I thank you again for listening and wish you the best of health. Stay well, stay healthy, stay safe. In 2021, we'll be joining you very soon again with a program on the great Lenny Tristano. But currently, you're listening to Lee Konitz Quartet at Storyville in Boston with Ronnie Ball on piano, Percy Heath on the bass, and Al Levitt on the drums, and of course, the incomparable alto sax player and improviser Lee Konitz on alto sax. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be seeing you next time. And yes, I also want to give a shout out to all those great jazz musicians on the global front that we wish you the best. We know it's been very difficult being not able to perform live, but there have been some very, very good online sessions, especially in New York City, the lockdown sessions through Jazz Gallery. Lincoln Center continue to do things. In Montreal, some of the great Quebec artists have gotten together and done things. In fact, the Montreal Jazz Festival was partially online during the summer. So my hat goes off. My great wishes and the best to all of these musicians. We'll be back. We'll be back in force with festivals and clubs, I think, very soon. So again, my best wishes and heartfelt thanks for what you bring to the world that's desperately in need of this fantastic music that brings, you know, greatness to the human soul and to the human spirit. Thank you again. This is Michael Pelias again for Art District Radio and Jazz Chronicles in New York.